the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tee off with the Tiger. Tiger Woods returns to competitive golf on Saturday, 10 months after a car crash that badly damaged his right leg. The American star will play with his 12-year-old son, Charlie, in the PNC Championship, a special 36-hole event in Orlando, Florida. George McNeely has this preview for us from Orlando.
45-year-old Tiger Woods plans to tee it up with his 12-year-old son, Charlie, in a tournament that features 20 golf champions teaming up with a family member each. Two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson spent Wednesday morning warming up at nearby Walt Disney World's Magnolia Golf Course and says Tiger's return is inspirational.
He always works hard on whatever he's doing, and for him to go ahead and be able to play, especially in front of the crowd and for the people on TV, that's inspiration. I mean, it's something we love seeing. We love seeing our great champions in any sport come back and play, and so it's going to be awesome to see.
Watson made his PNC Championship debut last year alongside his father-in-law, Wayne, and Bubba told me he can't wait to team up with his son, Caleb, who was spotted in the nearby Magic Kingdom wearing his number 12 Tom Brady NFL Buccaneers jersey this week.
When I can come and play with my father-in-law and then hopefully my son, who's 9 right now, hopefully one day he plays. They said he needs to be at least 12. So he's been practicing, wanting to age faster so he can play in it. But having Tiger to come back with Charlie, I mean, it just brings the interest to the game. And this event is now changing. When you get these guys, these great champions, to come and play, it brings a lot to this area, but also to the charity dollars they're trying to raise.
Bubba was once an Orlando resident. In fact, at one point, he purchased the home Tiger Woods owned in Isleworth. Watson said pre-tournament practice on Disney's Magnolia brought back some fond memories for the 12-time PGA Tour winner.
Well, I haven't been on this golf course since the last time the PGA Tour was here. I played here as a junior, the Rolex Match Play, when I was a kid. I was under 18. And so it's fun. I mean, this is cool. I remember the Mickey Mouse ear bunker on the course. And so it's pretty cool.
Bubba's family is traveling with him this week, and icing on the cake would be contending on Sunday against a formidable field, which features defending champion Justin Thomas and his father, Mike, world number one Nelly Korda and her father, Peter, whose Grand Slam tennis resume includes a singles title in Melbourne at the Australian Open, as well as icons Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Tom Watson, and Nick Faldo among the star-studded lineup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando, Florida.
Thanks, George. In African men's football, we're now just over 3 weeks away to the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. 24 teams have been drawn into 6 groups of 4 each for the opening stage. The Flames of Malawi are in Group B for the Nations Cup, along with Senegal, Guinea, and Zimbabwe. Lamech Messina joins us now from Blantyre, Malawi, to report on the preparations by the Flames. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Indeed, the Flames of Malawi are looking forward to their 3rd appearance at African football's premier event, which kicks off January 9th in Cameroon. Malawi's 2 previous Nations Cup qualifications were in 2010 in Angola and in 1984 in Ivory Coast. In both tournaments, the Flames were eliminated in the group stage. Malawi qualified for the football fiesta in Cameroon under 49-year-old head coach Meke Mwase, who was a defender for the Flames during his playing days. In October, Malawi was among 18 African countries that paraded the AFCON trophy, get herself Total Energies, which is also an official sponsor of the Nations Cup. The street parade was followed by an evening cocktail event where Malawi soccer officials expressed hope for the Flames to win the cup. Their hopes and dreams ultimately resulted in coaching changes for the upcoming AFCON. In November, the Football Association of Malawi signed the Romanian Mario Marinica to a 3-year contract to be technical director of the Flames. The 56-year-old Marinica is also Malawi's interim coach as it prepares for the Nations Cup, with Mase, his assistant, Alfred Gunda's general secretary for the Football Association of Malawi.
With the recruitment of the new technical director, we realized that his experience, his evaluation has some advantage that we can build on. And that's why as an organization, we have put him ahead to lead the technical panel to champion our fight in this in competition.
And not only that, Malawi has also had Cade Sisson as a data analyst and Claude Jones as a sports psychologist to work with the team. So far, Marinica has called a 34-member home-based squad into the camp that includes 12 juniors. However, Marinica was cautious to tell VOA whether the Flames, now under his tutelage, will bring the cup home.
It's very difficult because you have competitors, and the competitors, they don't sit. So you cannot gamble to say, well, we have a chance, we don't have a chance. But I think every single team, us included, if you work hard and you have a strategy like we have, you have a chance. The game is start 50-50, 0-0, so everyone has their own chances.
Marinica says Malawi would do better if it had taller players in key positions like goalkeeping and defending, like the country's netball team.
Malawi is extremely good at netball, and they have very tall players, because key position is tall players. That's what you need to do in football. So you have to find this, to do talent identification, to identify these players young, and then coaches, they have to work very hard with them on small groups, individual basis, to get them better at defending.
Marinica says the height difference is one of the reasons Malawi lost 4-0 to Cameroon last month in a World Cup qualifying match played in South Africa.
If you were to compare the size of our players with the size of Cameroon players, obviously it was a little bit of mismatch. Also, we had a huge weakness at the national level. We didn't have a left back for the match with Cameroon. And if you look up and down the country, not many left-footed players. So we try in future these things to not to happen.
But soccer analyst Peter Kings-Kaira, also a former Flames player, says Malawi has performed well in the past with players similar to the size of the current generation of footballers.
I was one of the best players in this country. How tall was I? I've scored so many goals using my head, even in the national team. In Malawi, we have had European coaches, Wanda Morel from Brazil, South America. He succeeded with the same stature of players we have. Kem Ted Bowell from England. He succeeded with the same short players we have. You train players to make sure that he should defend according to his height.
Kaira also criticized the firm for naming Marinica to lead the Flames at the AFCON in Cameroon instead of allowing Mase to finish his mission.
The better thing they could have done as football association was to keep the same making mass and let him just take that role as technical director. Simple. If we manage to qualify with making mass, what makes you now think they cannot deliver? And because we qualified with him, who knows? Maybe God can save us again to go further, even in the Africa Cup of Nations final.
But General Secretary Gunda says the decision came after a thorough consultation.
You appreciate that the ones that made the team qualify also understand that the competition that we are going to is at another level, and we need every kind of support that we can get to make sure that we go there to compete and not participate.
Gunda hopes the move will provide an opportunity for Malawi's coach Meki Mwase and his counterparts to learn from the new technical director as he introduced a new philosophy to improve style of play. However, Malinika says despite the challenges, Malawians should not lose hope.
We're going to find hard, we're going to work hard, and we try to maximize the player we have their strengths. I would like to ask them to get together to support the Flames and not to have high expectation, but to enjoy the match and to be assured that we'll do everything we can to win every single match.
In the meantime, Malawi is planning to camp in Saudi Arabia, where it's expected to play two friendlies as part of the preparations for the Nations Cup in Cameroon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Now let's go to New York City, where the new champions of Major League Soccer were celebrated this week. New York City FC had a pretty rapid rise to the top of MLS. The team played its first game in the league in 2015. And on December 11th, New York City FC lifted the MLS Cup by beating the host Portland Timbers 4-2 on penalty kicks after the teams drew 1-1. After 90 minutes of soccer, the celebrations took place at New York City Hall, and among those speaking at the ceremony was New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio.
Everybody, how much do you love these guys? How much do you love these guys? Let them feel it. You have made us so proud. You have made us proud at a moment where we needed. We needed it because we've been through so much these last couple of years in New York City. We needed this victory. We needed the hope that this team is giving us. Let's thank them. It's more than just a victory in a game. It's what they have done for all of us. Let's thank them right now.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio shook hands with the captain of New York City FC and also the most valuable player of the MLS Cup final, goalkeeper Sean Johnson.
We got back in from the game. We saw the video that the watch party back here. It gave us chills. We saw all the fans, the supporters group when we scored. We didn't hear the Portland fans in their stadium. All we heard was you guys. That's real. That's New York City. And I think we can finally put to rest the debate of what color the city is. New York is blue, baby!
Let's stay in New York. The city's two National Basketball Association teams, the Nets and the Knicks, were both winners on Thursday night. The Knicks scored a 116-103 road victory against the Houston Rockets. And in a matchup of two of basketball's best big men, Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets beat Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers by 9 points, the AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Kevin Durant highlighted his 34-point night by making a game-tying 4-point play with 1:46 remaining in the Nets' 114-105 downing of the 76ers.
We knew we were going to make that run just like last. We said coming into the timeout when they started to cut the lead, like we've been through this before in Toronto. So, you know, we know how to bounce back from that type of stuff. And we was able to withstand that little punch and keep it going in the fourth.
Durant also had 11 rebounds and 8 assists Thursday for Brooklyn, which was missing 7 players due to coronavirus health and safety protocols. Blake Griffin and Nick Claxton both added a season-high 17 points in the Nets' fourth straight win. The Sixers dropped their third straight despite Joel Embiid's 32 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists.
He made some tough ones, but I thought overall all night until that fourth quarter, except the first quarter, we did a great job on them. Matisse came in. I thought he did a great job on them. We just didn't finish.
The Knicks' four-game losing streak is over after Emmanuel quickly hit 7 three-pointers and scored 24 points in their 116-103 win over the Rockets.
We needed it big. Through the tough times, I feel like we stuck together pretty well, though. Hopefully we can turn this around. It's a long season, 82 games, so... Just trying to do the right things every day, work hard, make sure we're, taking the right steps, because your season can turn around quick.
The Knicks were 17 of 36 from beyond the arc, with quickly going 7 of 10. Evan Fournier dropped in 23 points, and Julius Randle had 21 for the Knicks, who were without 4 players because of health and safety protocols. Daniel Tice had 22 points and 10 boards for the Rockets.
Last quarter, we didn't switch up, on quickly. He got so many threes, we didn't do a good job there, so... Like I said, just trying to be vocal. Everybody got to be vocal in defense. If we don't talk, we don't look good.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Phoenix Suns shine brightly Thursday night, beating my beloved Washington Wizards by 20 points, 118-98, in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the Suns are tied with the Golden State Warriors for the best record in the NBA, 23 wins and 5 losses. Phoenix guard Landry Shamet scored 16 points.
We didn't come out exactly how we wanted to that first unit, but the second unit gave us a little burst early, got us going. And from there, I felt like we were pretty solid. Had a couple periods where we kind of lulled down a little bit, but overall, pretty good from beginning to end.
In one more NBA result Thursday night, the Indiana Pacers beat the visiting Detroit Pistons 122-113.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors were scheduled to host the Chicago Bulls Thursday night, but the game was postponed because of COVID-19 health and safety protocols.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. You can also connect with the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Samson Omale joins us once again with a spicy package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We'll begin the wrap of Africa Sports Action for this weekend with the latest confirmation coming from the Cameroonian FA, FECAFOOT, and the Confederation of African Football, CAF, that the 2021 African Cup of Nations will be held as scheduled. With the African Cup of Nations set to start in less than a month, several insinuations have been making the rounds, suggesting that the tournament might be postponed or even cancelled. Samuel Dunduni, governor of the Littoral region, insists Cameroon is ready to stage the biggest football showpiece on the continent.
Mr. Osengo, who came to see how far Douala is preparing the AFCON tournament, and he just expressed his satisfaction about what we have done till today.
Several European clubs are reluctant to let their African players travel to Cameroon, mainly due to fear of them contracting COVID-19. In a joint statement, CAF and AFCON on Thursday said that despite the dangers of COVID-19 and its variants, they are taking all necessary measures to avoid fans, players and officials from contracting or spreading COVID-19 during the tournament. Fans, for instance, won't be allowed to access stadiums where the 2021 AFCON will be played unless they are vaccinated and present a PCR test taken within 72 hours or an antigen test taken less than 24 hours before the match. Staying with Cameroon hosting the AFCON 2021, separatist groups on social media platforms continue to issue warnings that AFCON marches should not be played in Limbe and Bua, two towns in the southwest region. Cameroon's Anglophone separatists have threatened to further attacks on two towns that have stadiums to be used for group marches. Kapo Daniel, deputy defense chief of the Ambazonia Governing Council, in a video released on Thursday, warned CAF and the Cameroonian government not to host African Cup of Nations marches in Ambazonia's sovereign territory because unknown actors are targeting the event.
I'm calling on all the football stars, all the football nations that are poised to visit our territory, and CAF in particular, to take the responsibility and do the right thing and stop this African Cup of Nations to be hoisted in the middle of a civil war. Allowing this Nations Cup to go ahead will be provocation to the highest order to our people, and something stupid will happen. While we have banned this Nations Cup and we are going to use all legal and proper and acceptable way to protest its being hoisted in our territory.
Meanwhile, manager of English Premier League side Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, says he will not attempt to replace Mohamed Salah of Egypt, Sadio Mane of Senegal and Naby Keita of Guinea in the transfer market when they go out to play in the African Cup of Nations come January. Klopp could be without at least two members of that trio who have been instrumental and key to his success this season.
Yeah, we knew about the African Cup of Nations, that's true. So we knew that they all will be qualified and will be there. And we know that at least two of them will go pretty far in the tournament. So all these kind of things we knew. Can you be prepared for something like that properly, like perfectly? You'd like one replacement for Sadio, one replacement for Mo, one replacement for Naby.
Morocco national team manager Vahid Halilhodžić has issued a threat to all players who will rather remain with their parent club instead of joining the national team for the 2021 AFCON. Halilhodžić expects players to respect their international duties and join the national team or else they won't be called up again. The Moroccan coach insists that any player who fails to honor a national team call, he isn't loyal enough to the national team and can as well say goodbye to the national team. national team. Staying with African preparations, Ghana Minister of Sport Mustafa Usif says his ministry has only been able to raise $2 million of the $25 million target for prosecuting the 2021 African Cup of Nations. The sports minister made the revelation when he appeared before parliamentarians to give an update on Ghana's preparations for next month's AFCON. The minister employed Corporate Ghana to come to the aid of the Black Stars as they ensure a smooth AFCON for the team. He also asked that Ghanaians should support the team devoid of any political affiliation.
Mr. Speaker, I entreat all of us and all Ghanaians, regardless of party and religious affiliation, to rally behind our national team as they embark on another AFCON journey next month in Cameroon, with a dream to see the Black Star end the 40-year drought of the Continental Trophy. This dream of ours can only be realized through a united approach to the tournament.
The Gambia senior national team, the Scorpions, is set for an international friendly match with Algeria on the 1st of January 2021 in Qatar as the 2022 African Cup of Nations edges closer. Coach Tom Senfeld and his charges will use the international friendly clash with the Algerians to prepare themselves fit enough for the continent's biannual biggest football showpiece. Elsewhere, Uganda is set to play two friendlies, which will act as tune-up games aimed at fine-tuning the grains for two crucial continental assignments next year, including the 2022 CAF tournament and the 2023 AFCON qualifiers. Ugandan Cranes will take on Gabon on the 30th of December 2021 and Mauritania on the 1st of January 2022. Both games will be played in Abu Dhabi. Ugandan Cranes failed to qualify for the World Cup and the African Cup of Nations, and for coach Micho Seredejovic, preparations for 2022 engagements must start early with these international friendlies.
With these two matches, we want to keep the high level of competitiveness of Uganda Cranes. We want to open the new chapter, closing the 2021 in the best way and opening 2022 as a ray of hope that Uganda Cranes will once more be the pride of Uganda, Ugandan sport and Ugandan football.
And out to hockey news, a total of 60 Nigerian players are currently in camp and expected to undergo screening ahead of the Hockey African Cup of Nations scheduled for Accra, Ghana in January 2022. In athletics, Athletics Kenya President Jack Tway says professionals will be brought in to help his committee investigate and authenticate some of the grim revelations made by athletes during the nationwide consultative forums that came to an end a fortnight ago. Athletics Kenya and the government came up with Athletes Consultative Forum following the murder of distance runner Agnes Tirop at her home on October 13, 2021. Her husband Ibrahim Rotich is the main suspect in the murder. Tui disclosed that the report, which is said to be presented to the Cabinet Secretary for Sport, Amina Mohammed, will have far-reaching implications that will change how athletes are handled.
We look forward to more collaboration with athletics stakeholders as we right the wrongs of the sector while perfecting our strong suits.
Cricket South Africa has made public its report that followed the social justice and nation-building hearings this year that sought to address racism, discrimination and exclusion in the game. According to the Social Justice and Nation-Building Commission's final report, Cricket South Africa unfairly discriminated against players on the basis of race and concluded that the administration, as well as former captain and current director Graeme Smith, current head coach Mark Boucher and former captain A.B. de Villiers had all engaged in prejudicial conduct. Lawson Naido is the current Cricket South Africa chairperson.
There are learnings clearly to be had from this, and I think many of the practices that were highlighted in the report have already been addressed. And the selection policy is now in place that the convener of selectors has overall responsibility for the selection of the team. And the roles of others, including the captain and the coach, are clearly demarcated and set out. So I think, these are issues that certainly did occur in the past, but progress has been made.
And finally, in boxing news, the numbers are in from last Saturday's fight between Ghanaian Richard Comey and Vasily Lomachenko at the Madison Square Garden in New York. According to viewership figures released by Nielsen Media Research, the 12th-round Lomachenko-Comey contest attracted a peak audience of 1.2 million for ESPN, which televised their main event. Lomachenko won the bout via a wide judges' score of 117 to 110, 119 to 108, and 119 to 108. Ghana's Comey, who had 27 knockouts in 30 victories before going into the match, said he felt he let down Ghana by his loss.
Well, you know, I fight for my country, I fight for my people. You know, I let them down, but I believe I'm going to come back stronger.
That's Ghanaian boxer Richard Comey. And thanks to Samson O'Malley for that hard-hitting package of African sports news. And that wraps up the December 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.